Right, so our scripture reading this morning is coming from 1 Peter, and this was a letter to five communities in Rome, and the first part is a prayer that he prayed over everyone, so this is part of that prayer. It says, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking actual words of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Is the word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
By the way, as I think of the prayers, did y'all hear that Abby was trying to pray with us? Hey, Stacy, we got the lights going again today. I'm telling you, I think there's church mice up there, and they're going, let's play a trick on them. And so they turn it off and turn it on just to mess with us. Okay, so imagine that you're having one of those days. I suspect we can all imagine having one of those days when we have an awful lot on our to-do list and we're not sure we'll get it all done, right? And so we wake up with this great attitude in the morning thinking, you know, I'm going to be as productive as I can be. I'm going to accept what I can do, and I'm going to be at peace with what I have to say for tomorrow, right? So when you set in on that kind of a day, you get kind of in the role of doing the moving around, right? You get into this mindset and you're just, oh my goodness, that is, if I'm at home and I'm supposed to be somewhere, that's when I run late the worst, because I'm working in my brain, I'm writing a sermon, I'm working on the next thing, and I get so in here that all of a sudden time starts moving faster on the clock and slower in my head. Does that make sense? And so then I'm doing something and I'm like, oh, I've got an hour, I've got plenty of time, and so then I get all this going on and then I show up late.
Or worse, you get somewhere and don't have to be here.
Oh, yeah, or you get there. Well, I was still a couple minutes late. And Amanda can attest to this because I literally drove. I drove to a meeting the other day. Amanda was there at this meeting. And I was running a couple minutes late because I was doing one of those to-do lists. And checking in on Mom on the way into town. And I drove right past the meeting. And Amanda went, there goes Julie. Because I was just in my brain of all the things that I had to do and was working on, and so I just drove right on by. And I was like, oops. And of course, and she's like, I saw you. I was like, yeah, that's what happens when I get up in here. So when someone calls us and we're kind of in that kind of autopilot with our bodies because our minds are doing things, and they say, I need you to stop what you're doing and come and do something for me. So our mind goes to, what other option do I have right now, right? You know, because I'm in the middle of something and I've got all these things going on, and how do I stay on track? And so right in the middle of your mind going, how can I fit this, schedule this, your mouth says, oh, sure, I'd be happy to. Ever done that?
Yeah.
Yep, and then all of a sudden you've got yourself something else to do, and your brain is going, wait, did my mouth not hear me? Sometimes we can get a little lost in it all. And so when we think serving with a smile, sometimes our mouths commit to things that we didn't really realize we were going to get into. And so we might have a tendency to even want to kind of grumble about it a little bit. I just don't have time for this today. Even all the while trying not to be grumbly. But we can't help it, folks, because we are human. When we go and do acts of service, when sometimes our hearts are feeling a little grumbly about it, it's amazing that we can get into the middle of this act of service and we can be the one who's blessed. So that even if we went in there and we didn't have the smile already affixed to our face, God can change and move our hearts. Well, I had a little story that I have shared a couple of times today, and I was hoping that Sammy would remember this and maybe tell about it from your words. Sure, I know, put you on the spot, right? Do you remember when your show choir went caroling to the nursing home?
For Christmas or Valentine's Day?
You went there, and there was the lady who hadn't been awake for a bit. Do you remember it? Can you tell that a little bit? But you'll have to let people hear you.
Okay. It's been like
7 years. I know. I'm hoping you remember it because I remember it, and I just hope you do.
So, in high school in show choir, we used to go caroling a couple times a year, of course, for Christmas. And there was a lady, as she said, that hadn't been responsive, I think is probably a good way to say it, in a very long time. I don't remember how long it had been, but she had also other visitors, and we sang the same several songs as usual. You know, we had kind of a set list, and then you just pick a couple of the songs at each door, and she felt it, and she was moving, and she was kind of singing a little bit with us, and they pulled us. After we were done, they were like, could you sing more? Because it meant a lot to them to see her reacting to anything. And so, you know, I think that's when I really realized how much music is really in everybody's soul.
Yeah.
But they told us why they wanted us to sing more was because she was still enjoying it, and she was smiling, and she was tearing up. And they're like, that was her mom's favorite song. So it was, yeah.
See, I didn't remember nearly all of it. I remember that she had turned her head and that the people were very excited because she hadn't responded to anything in so long. And I said, you know, those kids was kind of going through doing what they were doing. They were going through the list and they were feeling what they were feeling. But they, you know, came out, it was 17 years later, just brought tears to her eyes. They were changed. And they were brought joy into their souls because of the service that they were doing for someone else. Because that kind of joy kind of can interrupt us in the middle of whatever's going on, whether we're busy, whether we're having troubles, whether we just can't find that joy in our heart. But when we do service, it meets us. So our text today in 1 Peter, we can imagine going into the room where they heard the letter. It's kind of funny to me now that my little pieces that I'm going to use are all rolled up because they probably got a scroll in what we would call the mail from Peter, the disciple of Jesus Christ. And this was to the early church, to these five communities who've been pushed around and pushed aside, and they have to meet in homes in dark places because they have been so persecuted. And so Peter's trying to breathe joy into them in all of the things that are going on, no matter how bad it seems. So in this room, we have all the noise of the city outside going on, and this dimly lit space where they've come in, they've lit their lamp, they've burned the incense, they're trying to bring God into the room. And one of the elders in the church would open the scroll of Peter and read from it. And now that first part was a prayer over the people. And he begins in verse 1 saying, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Which, of course, when I heard arm yourselves, I was like, in our armor, right? So Peter begins his correspondence saying the mission of the letter. Why the letter? So we can stay in the mission of Christ. In verse 7, he tries to get more urgent with the message. You know, we can tell somebody to go do something. They go, oh, okay, yeah. And they go, no, now. So in verse 7, he says, the end of all things is near. Now that's to put that sense of urgency in their hearts. And then in verse 8, he starts the process of telling them how to live out Christ's purpose. And all this is part of a prayer. Isn't that kind of neat? Like he's teaching and praying at the same time. And so I brought my little pieces here to help visualize the scripture a little bit this morning. And I hope it's not too simple. If I'm going to make something, especially when I'm working on a sermon, it's going to have to be simple or I'm not going to get it done. But when I sit down with a scripture, I got a whole paragraph in front of me, and I want to be able to remember it and also relay it in a way that's going to be, you can take it home with you. You know, you're not going to just hear it and then let it bounce off and go home. So I tend to take the whole verse and break it down into a couple words that I can remember, and then sometimes those come on down to singular words. So four verses, and I have a word to represent each verse of today's scripture. So he starts out, the rock of the church, the foundation of the church, starts out by talking about what it is that causes us to do the purpose of Christ. And what is it that Christ calls us to do for one another? starts with an L.
Love.
Love. And so when I broke down scripture, verse 8 is love. See, at Ohio State, I managed to pull my whole pulpit over and use it. So the base of our scripture this morning is love. And Peter says that love is how we interact with one another, and that love covers a multitude of sins. Now, when I think about love covering a multitude of sins, I do think about the blood of Christ. But it's Mother's Day, and so we're thinking about parental bonds and people who help us. And so I think love, in the way that Peter was talking about it, is something that allows us to forgive others and to be forgiven by others. And that seems like a very parental thing, doesn't it? When we think about the word love, we often think about chocolates and flowers and fuzzy feel-good things. But if we think about it as more of a parental sense, is love from a parent just a feeling?
No.
It's a bond, right? Like, it's a blood tie. This is what keeps you together. There's a phrase out there that says, only a mother could love, right? And you see it. I'm sorry if you love pug dogs, but I've seen people say that about, like, pug dogs, little squishy-faced dogs, that go, oh, only a mother could love that face, you know? Those kind of love has to do more with, you know, the kiddos can come up to you with jelly. My kids used to try and test me and see if they could have a face so messy I wouldn't take a kiss. Is there a face so messy, moms, that won't take a kiss? No. They could come up with jelly and chocolate and ice cream. Brennan would have, I remember that day he had the ice cream all in his hat and everything. He's like, Mom, do you want a kiss? And I was like, bring it. Mess. Sin is mess, right? It covers a multitude of mess. The kind of love like Peter's talking about is that kind that bonds us together with one another, that establishes us and strengthens us, and there isn't anything that someone could do that we can't let love cover it. In verse 9, he says to be hospitable without complaint. That's where serving with a smile came from, because we're hospitable without complaint. How many people serve without complaint? I mean, sometimes it's just, man, I'm so tired today. We don't mean to be grumpy. We're just people. And so this morning, the lady at Children's Time said, show me joy. One of the little girls went. It's kind of how we do, isn't it? You know, we want to have joy in our heart, but sometimes all we can do is grumpy cat. And so I correlate here the image of serving to people in businesses. What do they say when you walk into Chick-fil-A? Anybody know? That's what the cows say on billboards. Yeah, that's good though. Thanks. They welcome in. You know, you walk in, even DSW and Lisa Manow says, welcome in when you walk in the door. Walmart used to have greeters. I don't know that they still do that very much, but Harrisonville does. But the greeters that welcome you when you come in, or I love when you go into a restaurant and they give you free food. I feel welcome when they give you free food. Why do we like that? Why do we need that greeting? Why does that help us feel like that's a place we want to be?
Shows hospitality.
Shows hospitality. Yeah, without complaint. Like, you matter. We care. You're here. And so this is what Peter's talking about when he says, show hospitality without complaint. Serve one another in a way that when they come in, they know that they're important, that you want them there. And then, okay, so we get to the third verse in today. And this one is one of the ones that I really like to talk about here. Is gifts. So we have love. Love causes us to serve. We serve. What do we use to serve? Our gifts. Okay? And this one here, as a pastor, and for years now, every time we have that sermon on spiritual gifts, what do you think people say to me after church?
I don't have a gift.
Yeah. I don't have any gifts, Pastor. I'm not specially. What you got?
Wisdom is a gift.
Wisdom is a gift. Yeah, I was going to ask. Has God given you anything? Maybe you don't think of it as something you're talented to do, but what has God given you? Wisdom. What else has God given you?
Understanding.
Patience.
Forgiveness. What's that, Joanne?
Patience.
You know, God didn't give that one to me for a while. Still working on it.
I've always heard, be careful what you pray for, because, and I think, prayed for patience, and guess what?
Then you get tested, yes. I always tell that story. We used to have classes here, and I used to pray for patience, and they said, you need to be careful about praying for patience, because the way you get patience is to be tested. And so if you want to be tested, pray for patience. But, okay, so when we say, I don't have a talent, I don't have anything to share, we can even think basic when we go provisions of God. What kinds of things are provisions of God? And we think of the built, what's that? Say it again, I said it. Air, yes. How about the building you're in? How about the clothes on your person? How about the fact that you, yes, you have breath in your lungs this morning? That you have life. We have a voice. All of these are gifts from God. So if we're to be good stewards, and we like to think about that monetarily, we want to be good stewards of what God gave us, so let's give it to other people. Great. Generosity that way is great. But these gifts include all of those things you just said. If God gives you wisdom, share that with someone. If God gives you understanding and forgiveness, when someone comes to you, that's how you learn patience, Joanne. When they come in and they have, you know, really pushed all your buttons, you use your understanding and your patience and your forgiveness and your wisdom to serve them. That is what we mean by gifts. It doesn't mean that you can write a Hallmark card. It means that you take all the things that God has given to you and use it to serve in love. This is Peter's prayer for us. And then his final part of his scripture this morning, I've got to skip forward here a little bit. It's the top of my pyramid. What do you think it is? If you went to church earlier, don't say. But what do you think it is? What's at the top of our pyramid? What should be at the top of our pyramid?
God.
Yes, God is at the top of our pyramid. Which means, oops, it's crooked. God is not crooked, just my triangle is. This is why my brain worked in this particular shape, was because we have the Trinity represented here, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but also love and God. Aren't these the same thing? That is the foundation of our faith and also the purpose. And being the top of the pyramid, it points heavenward. And so all of these things that we do, that Peter prayed over us, is to glorify, to lift people and ourselves towards God. And he said that to do that, in verse 11, he says, whoever is to do as one who is, or whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking actual words of God. Now, sometimes they use that word speak and replace it with teaches. That's great. And pastors, we should be, and Sunday school teachers, we should be accountable. But I like that this is more universal. It says, whoever speaks should do so as one speaking the words of God. If every word that came out of your mouth was literally, if you thought to yourself, this is a word that would come out God's mouth, what words would we say?
Love.
Yeah.
I love you.
We would say love.
I love you.
Yeah. You think that there's fewer words we would say? No? Peter says no. Maybe more careful words. But yes, everywhere I've been this morning, when I say, if we were to say only words that God would say, what words would we say? And the first one that comes out is love. But when we open our mouths, is that the first thing that comes out?
No.
Whoever is to speak is to do so as one speaking the actual words of God. And whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength and glory of God. Now, I like that one too, because we do sometimes get into the middle of our thought process or the middle of our list, or we're just so tired because we've had a really hard week, or there's a lot going on. And we think when we hear that we got to go serve, that means we got to do it on our own. And I think that when it says that we should do so with the strength of God, that doesn't just mean the strength of body, but that means the strength of mind, where we might call on others and say, we can do this together. We can't always do all the things with our physical person, but we sure can help plan. We sure can make other calls. We sure can get together. I never will forget how when Brian was still around, and I called Mom, and she said, what you doing today? And, you know, I babysat our little Brian. He passed away when he was 14. Is that right? And I used to babysit him, and it was really hurting my heart to that he was, we knew he was going home, right? And so I called Mom. I was headed over to clean house. She said, "What you doing?" I said, "I'm going to go clean Connie's house so that when they come home from what we know they're going to encounter, the house will be clean because they're going to have all kinds of people coming in." And by the time I got from my house to their driveway, there was a line of cars following me up the driveway. And we were all together when we found out that Brian had left Earth and gone to heaven. Do you remember that, some of you? There were several of us that were cleaning that day. I could have done a job by myself, but we serve together. And we give each other strength to get through those moments. If we are serving with the strength of God, even when we don't feel strong, imagine how big and strong and mighty and what God can do through us. So today's scripture was prayed over those five communities in their time of uncertainty. But it encourages us today to love, serve, to be good stewards of what God has given into our hands, all for the glory of God. That's what Peter prayed for them and what he prayed for us. That when we love first, welcome others as if they matter because they absolutely do, that joy fills our hearts. We are grown and changed in our service. Our faith becomes something more than a belief. It becomes something that we live. The world that we live in is starving for people who love deeply, speak gently, forgive freely, and welcome others. The pyramid that we built today is a picture of the church when it's working at its best. And Peter's words apply to us because God is still using us, even when we're tired and life is messy. So this week, try living this simple four-word pyramid and trust that God can multiply even the smallest act of kindness into something really holy. May the world see Christ in us, and may we discover that joy often finds us and surprises us while we are serving for the glory of God. You pray with me. Lord God, we are so thankful for the memories, for the times that we have been in service of you and have found joy that filled our hearts and has stuck with us for many, many years, changing the way that we approach life. Lord, may we use that gift to serve others today and tomorrow. Lord, you are the giver of all good things, and you call us to serve with glad hearts. Receive whatever we bring back, whether it be the work of our hands, the change in our wallet, the words of our lips. May these be gifts and acts of praise. Use what we have to build up the body of Christ, to speak your truth, and to serve others with strength that is not ours. Let us give joyfully as stewards of your grace. And may you be glorified in all things. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.